Hello and welcome to the Old Time Radio Hour. I'm your host, Justine Ward, and this week we conclude our tribute to radio westerns with Frontier Gentlemen. This short-lived but high-quality western was created at the end of the golden age of radio in 1958 by Anthony Ellis. John Daner plays J.B. Kendall, a correspondent for the London Times, who gets caught up in all the drama and violence of the Wild West. Enjoy Frontier Gentleman, Wonder Boy, first broadcast August 17th, 1958, on CBS.
There are many claims to the title of fastest gun in the West. I think that in Deadwood, Dakota Territory, I may have met him.
Frontier Gentlemen. Herewith an Englishman's account of life and death in the West. As a reporter for the London Times, he writes his colorful and unusual stories. But as a man with a gun, he lives and becomes a part of the violent years in the new territories. In just a moment, we will bring you the latest report from the Frontier Gentlemen. Why stand on the sidelines when CBS News features like The World Tonight take you directly to where the big news stories are breaking? Tonight, tomorrow, and every night, hear eyewitness reports from CBS News overseas correspondents and lively features and interviews with the very people making the news, as most of these same CBS radio stations present The World Tonight. Now, starring John Daner, this is the story of J.B. Kendall, Frontier Gentleman.
My remittance, as well as a small check from the London Times, were forwarded to me from Cheyenne. Both reached me at the Mark Hotel in Deadwood, Dakota Territory. I cashed them at the Stebbins and Post Company Bank, and once more solvent, decided to do something about my clothes, which, to say the least, had seen better days. I was directed to a tailor shop, which I found housed in a dilapidated frame building, almost at the end of the main street. A freshly painted sign read, Eli Jackson, Taylor, Outfitters. I went in and was met by a tall, thin youth of 16, 17. He greeted me with a shy grin, bowed stiffly, and said,
Afternoon, sir. Can I be of service?
And I thought I'd like to buy a new suit.
Yes, sir. We got a mighty fine selection. Were you figuring on a Sunday go to meeting suit or maybe just a cow rigging?
Well, I'd like to see what you've got.
Well, you step right this way, mister.
All right. Are you Eli Jackson, the tailor?
No, sir. I'm his son, Dick. He'll pause up the street for a few minutes, but he'll be right back. I guess maybe you want to wait for him?
Well, as a matter of fact, I was thinking of having his suit made.
Oh, sure. Well, Pa'll fix you up just fine. He's the best tailor in these parts. You want to take a seat? Wait. It'll only be a couple of minutes for sure.
All right.
You live here in Deadwood, mister?
I've been here about a week.
Well, now ain't that something. Me and my mom and pa, we got in a week back, too. I guess you can see there's some fixing up to do here. Wasn't much of a place when we moved in, but as soon as we get her straightened around, she'll be the finest store in Dakota. We live in the back.
Where do you come from?
Oklahoma Territory. Pa heard about the gold strikes in the Black Hills. He says, with all them folks coming into Deadwood, there's a regular gold mine in Taylor, and business weren't much back home, so we cut our suspenders and come up here. Sure is a wild, woolly town, ain't it?
A fair description.
You mind my asking, mister, what kind of shooting iron is that?
Oh, Colt 44.
How you like it?
Well, it's a good gun, serviceable.
I never used one of them. I sure admire to shoot one, though.
Well...
I got me two old Remington 46s Uncle Amos left of me. But sure is a mess of trouble finding cartridges for them. Used to be cap and ball, you know.
Oh.
Yeah, and then they fixed them up to shoot rimfire. Say, I still got a few rounds left. Would you like to take a couple of shots?
Oh, well, I'm not very...
I got a target set up in the back, then maybe... Oh. Maybe you could give me a turn with yours?
All right.
Ma and Pa, they don't take to my practicing like I do, but I tell them man's got to keep his handy, and ain't that so?
And I suppose it rather depends what you're practicing for.
Well, I ain't practicing to be no short trigger man, mister. Mr.
Kendall.
Mr. Kendall? But like Uncle Amos used to say, if there's going to be a corpse and cartridge occasion, it's best you learn to roll your gun first.
Either that or stay out of the way of corpse and cartridge occasions.
That ain't always so easy. Uncle Amos, he got himself dry gulched back in Oklahoma. He sure was a peaceable man, too. All right, keep him hanging in here. Ma won't let me keep no guns in my room. You know how women are.
Yes, yes, I know. Those are pretty hefty guns.
Yeah, but they got real smart balance. Action smoothed down just fine, too. Yeah, target's over there. You want to try her out?
Oh, yes, I'd like to.
I do my practice from here. I paste it off about 25 feet.
Well, from the looks of it, you're quite a shot.
Well, I can do better, Mr. Kendall. Right now, I'm working on my draw. It's still a mite slow.
Did you put those shots in the bullseye from a draw?
Oh, sure.
From the hip, or did you take time to aim?
Oh, from the hip, but I figure I'm still taking too much time.
Oh, no, no, no. They say accuracy is more important than speed. Those are rather old models you're using, you know.
Well, I'd sure like to see you try that 44, Yorn. Maybe I could learn something.
No, not much from me, I'm afraid. I'll have a go. Here, hold your guns.
Yes, sir.
Now. All right. You say the word, I'll draw.
Ready? Now.
Not bad.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's mighty fine shooting, Mr. Kendall.
Thank you. Let me see you try.
Oh, no, no, I guess not.
Come on.
No, I reckon not.
Go on. Put on the belt. I'm curious to see how you handle those relics.
Yes, sir.
I should think they'd be a little heavy for you.
Yeah, they were at first, but I kind of got used to them. Of course, I can't shoot both at once.
I've never yet seen a man who could with any accuracy.
Say, maybe we'd better get back inside. I guess Pa ought to be back by now.
In a minute. I want to see how you hit those bullseyes.
Yes, sir.
Ready?
Yes, sir.
All right. Now you draw when I say the word. Draw. May I see your gun?
Yes, sir.
How many bullets did you have in there?
Five.
Is the other gun loaded? Do you mind doing that again?
I guess so.
Good Lord.
Heard our road show starring Tennessee Ernie? You ought to. It reflects Ernie's warm personality right down the line. Young Molly B. and Doris Drew alternate as the featured feminine vocalists on the show. Join us on most of these same stations tomorrow for CBS Radio's easygoing road show starring Tennessee Ernie. It's as refreshing as a visit back home.
It was the most unbelievable thing I'd ever seen. Twice, in a little more than 1 second, this boy had drawn, fanned the hammers of his ancient guns, and put five bullets in a 6-inch circle from a distance of 25 feet. Now he stood, eyes downcast, obviously uncomfortable.
I guess we better see if Pa's back.
Dick, why didn't you want to show me how you shoot?
Oh, I figured maybe you'd be mad and not buy a suit of clothes from Pa. We sure need the business.
I feel like a bit of a fool. I'm certainly not mad. Awed might be the word. Who taught you to draw like that?
Uncle Amos.
Hmm. He must have been quite handy with a gun himself.
Oh, he was good. But he said I was better. He'd have his bristles up right now if he'd seen me showing off to you. Uncle Amos always said, never show a man your draw unless you mean it, because someday you might have to throw down with him.
Now, you listen to me, young friend. You'll never have to worry about that with me. I have no wish to commit suicide.
Dick? Dick, where are you? Dick!
Out back, Ma.
Come inside, quick. Your paw's been hurt.
Huh? What's the matter? Pa?
It's all right, Pa. It's all right.
Help me get him laid down on the sofa, son.
Yeah, let me help.
Who are you?
It's Mr. Kendall, Pa. Came in for to buy some clothes.
Easy now. Put your weight on me.
What happened? What happened, Ma?
Hush up, Dick. Doctor should be along directly, Eli. Now you rest comfortable. Mm-hmm. Is it still bleeding?
Yeah, I guess so.
Ma? You've been shot.
Miss Jackson, get some clean rags. Tear up a shirt. We've got to stop the bleeding.
Yes. Pa?
Why don't you get to fretting, boy? This looks worse than it is, huh? I ain't gonna die.
Dick, help me get his jacket off.
Yes, sir. Mm-hmm. Pa? Pa? He's dead, mister.
He's fainted. Get some water on to boil. The doctor will need it when he takes off the bullet.
You sure he ain't dead?
I tell you, he's fainted. Now do as you're told.
Some sheeting put away for bandages.
It's all right. He'll come around.
He's so white.
Loss of blood. Have you got any whiskey?
No. Eli's not a drinking man.
Mm. You said the doctor's on his way.
Yes. Somebody went to call him.
There. Hold those against his shoulder. It ought to stop the bleeding.
Oh, yes.
Now, don't try to move, Mr. Jackson.
Lie back, dear.
I feel some better. I guess I went off for a couple of minutes. I'm truly thankful for your help, mister.
It's all right.
Afraid you're going to have to wait a bit for your suit, though, less than you're willing to wear ready-made.
Oh, don't worry about that. Just lie quietly.
That fella, he had no cause.
Paul. I know, dear. I'll
be against the law. Man's got no right.
How did it happen, Mrs. Jackson?
Well, we'd gone to the warehouse to get some bolts of cloth. A couple of drunks come out of Gerber's saloon. Start shooting and deviling around. They seen Eli and me coming down the street.
I seen one fella a couple of days back. He come in here to buy a pair of boots. Crowley's his name. I didn't have nothing cheap enough, and he didn't have the money. Didn't look like the kind I'd give credit, so he went off without his boots.
They was drunk, Eli. He didn't do it purposeful. The bullet must have hit a rock or something and bounced up.
Maybe.
Who was the other fella, Paul?
Boy, what are you doing with that gun belt on? You know your ma and me's told you never to bring it in the house.
Well, I was out back showing Mr. Kendall.
You never mind what you was doing and showing. You go hang up them guns this minute, you hear?
Do as your pa says.
Now, you've seen what guns can do to your Uncle Amos. Now, me.
Don't excite yourself, Eli.
I ain't exciting myself. I ain't going to have that boy turn into killer.
I ain't, Pa. No
now,
such
don't you
thing.
Talk back to me, boy. I'll strip the hide off on you.
Come back, Eli. Dick, do as your pa tells you. Go on.
I know, baby.
Did you put the water on the boil?
Yeah.
Good. Now, why don't you go and see if the doctor's coming?
Yeah, all right.
Now, you take off them guns and belt.
But
Boy, when I get up, I'm going to thrash your backside, I am for sure. You're just getting too big for your britches.
Please, son, can't you see what you're doing to your pa? Do like he says.
I'm sorry, but I saw what happened to Uncle Amos. Well, ain't no one going to shoot my pa and get away with it.
Boy, you come back here.
Dick!
Don't worry, I'll get him.
You tell him it was an accident. What? No real shooting?
Dick!
It was an accident.
Dick! Dick! Wait, I want to talk to you. Now, slow down, young fella.
Don't hold on to me, Mr. Kendall. I got a thing to do.
Now, use your head. You can't fight two grown men.
If I got to, I can. May nobody around here thinks I'm big enough to
You're
use a gun.
You're big enough. Shooting at a target is a little different facing a man.
I ain't afeard.
I didn't say you were. But you go looking for trouble with a couple of drunks, you're going to get hurt.
Mister, I'm 17. I was there last year when my Uncle Amos died. The blood running out of him. They shot him in the back because he was like my pa. He'd put up his guns and wasn't going to fight no more. Uncle Amos, he said to me, just before he turned on his side, he said, boy, whenever you see a coward with a gun, you get scared. You get scared enough to go for yours before he gets his out. Pa's always preaching about living peaceable. All right, well, if they won't let you live that way, you gotta make them let you.
Your father said it was an accident. Did you hear him?
Maybe it was, maybe it wasn't. I heard what he said about that fella Crowley coming to the store for boots and Pa not giving him credit. It's true, I was in the store. That Crowley had it in for Pa. Well, we're gonna live in this town. Folks are gonna have respect for the Jacksons. Pa don't care none. I do.
Supposing you do find them, what are you going to do? To start shooting?
I'll give him a chance to draw.
Dick, will you listen to me?
I ain't listening to nobody, Mr. Kendall. My pa's been hurt bad. I aim to pay the man out that done it. So don't you go trying to stop me.
Who says you can't be in and out at the same time? Every Monday through Friday on CBS Radio's House Party, Art Linkletter invites you out right in your own home, office, or car. House Party is just what the name implies. It's loaded with fun and surprises. It's one place you can be sure you'll meet new and exciting people. Remember, CBS Radio's House Party is a standing invitation to a good time. It's yours for the listening 5 times a week on most of these same stations.
I walked up to Deadwood Street with young Dick Jackson, the two old 46s slapping heavily on his thin young legs. I knew that I could have physically stopped him, carried him back to his parents, but I also knew that it would have solved nothing, perhaps only made matters worse. So I did the only thing I could do. I went with him. First to Gerber's saloon, then to half a dozen others, looking for the man named Crowley, his companion. An hour later, we found him in the Deadwood Saloon.
That's Crowley. That's the one. Over to the bar.
You know what you're doing.
I know.
You know what it's like to shoot a man, to kill him.
I guess I'm going to find out, Mr. Kendall.
You said you weren't practicing to be a short trigger man. That was a lie.
No.
Shooting at a target hasn't been enough. You've just been waiting for an excuse.
That ain't so. Get out of my way.
Dick.
Boy, now you ain't never seen nothing like it. He shows up in this here dance. Public as a zebra, wearing a fried shirt, a hard-boiled hat, and a smelling of bear grease and lavender-flavored soap. I tell you, he looked as miserable as a razorback hog that's dropping himself on a fence post. Hey, well, look here. Hey, boys, come over here and have a look, see. Hey, what you carrying there, son?
Buffalo guns.
Hey, boy, don't you know packing them great big old heavy things would like to make you a bow-legged before your time?
Crowley, you just shot up my pa, I'll be back. I aim to kill you for it.
Kill me! You kin of that there mealy-mouthed tailor down the street? Boy, I might have known. Mealy Mouth and little son.
Mr. Crowley, I'm going to put my gun back now. Next time I unshuck it, you better draw your own self, because I ain't going to be doing no fancy trick shooting a glass out of your hand. I'm going to kill you.
Boy, you sure are fast, that's for sure. Yeah, but you just a kid. Now, I ain't got no quarrel with no kid.
You gunned my pa.
Oh, no, that there was an accident. Me and Loba here, we was just having some fun, and your pa, well, he come waltzing up with the missus, and he kind of got in the way of a bullet is all. It wasn't nobody's fault.
You gonna draw?
Lobie, you tell a kid, ain't it the truth?
Sure it did. Didn't mean no harm.
Mister, you with the kid here?
Yes.
Well, you get him out of here, huh?
No, I don't think so. I want to see his face when he kills you.
You loco.
I'm a newspaper man. It's my job to write about such things. The birth of a killer. He can draw and empty his gun before you can even get yours out, Crowley. He knows it, too. That's why he's going to be a very important killer. He might even be as famous as Billy the Kid. Don't be a gun, Crowley. He's waiting. He wants the excuse to see you die. If you don't, he'll kill you anyway.
No, that ain't so. It ain't so.
Now, look, mister. Kid. I'm sorry about your pa, huh? I'm sorry for what I said. Ain't no sense getting riled. I got a few dollars to help pay for the doctor and all, huh?
He doesn't want that. He wants to be able to go home, tell his father and his mother what he's done. Show them what a big man he is. He can shoot a gun. Kill. That'll make him very grown
up. No, that ain't why. I told you it ain't.
Now, here, kid. Now, you take this. It's 40 bucks. You give that to your old man. It'll pay for the doctors and such. I got me a little strike a couple days back, you see. You tell him I'll be in and buy the best suit of clothes and custom maids he's got in the store. You tell him that now, will you?
We don't want your money. You stay away from us, you hear? If you don't, I'll be back.
Sure, boy. Anything you say.
Give me the money, Crowley. I'll see his father gets it.
Yeah, you do that! Huh? Dick, look out!
Crowley had pushed me off balance and had gone for his gun. The boy was at the door 20 feet away, his back turned. Crowley fired, and in that same instant, Dick whirled and shot back. He shattered a bottle on the bar. Both had missed. I was only 6 feet away. My two bullets took away half of Crowley's face. I took the boy back to his father's place. The doctor had removed the piece of lead in Eli Jackson's shoulder, and he was resting more comfortably.
Well, I'm glad you found him, Mr. Kendall, before there was any trouble.
There was trouble, Mr. Jackson, but it wasn't his fault.
He didn't do any shooting.
No, he didn't kill anybody. He didn't hurt anybody.
Dad, I want you to take Uncle Amos' guns. Sell them. I don't want them. No guns, ever.
Shucks, boy. I couldn't get two bits on them old things. You figure you've had enough play out of them. You just hang them up. Show them to your grandchildren someday.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe I'll do that.
Mr. Kendall, will you be in Deadwood for a while?
Yes, for a while.
Well, now, that's just fine. I tell you, you come on back in a couple of days, I'll be up and around, and I'd sure like to make you a fine suit of clothes.
Thank you. I will.
Dick, you show Mr. Kendall out?
Yes, ma'am. Mr. Kendall, I'm sorry.
It's all right.
I might have been killed.
You might?
You was right about shooting a man being different from a target. I could shoot the glass out of his hand because I knew that didn't mean nothing. But I couldn't kill him.
Killing's ugly. You saw what Crowley looked like.
I saw.
You should have remembered what your uncle told you. Never show a man your draw unless you mean it. Someday you might have to throw down with him.
I'm sorry I didn't remember it. But I won't need to again. I promise you, Mr. Kendall.
I'll take your word for it, Dick.
Frontier Gentlemen was written, produced, and directed by Anthony Ellis and stars John Daner as J.B. Kendall. Featured in the cast were Virginia Gregg, Eddie Firestone, Stacey Harris, Jack Crucian, and Ben Wright. Join us again next week for another report from the Frontier Gentlemen. Bud Sewell speaking.
You are listening to the Old Time Radio Hour podcast each week over the World Wide Web. We are concluding our tribute to radio westerns with Frontier Gentlemen. The series was produced on tape, and the episodes are in excellent sound. The next episode of Frontier Gentlemen has the journalist working for a charlatan who promises to bring rain. Because, as often happens in this series, his remittance from the London Times has not caught up with him. This is Frontier Gentleman, the Rainmaker, first broadcast October 26, 1958, on CBS.
There is a section of Kansas in which I shall never be welcome. This is the reason for it.
Frontier Gentleman. Herewith, an Englishman's account of life and death in the West. As a reporter for the London Times, he writes his colorful and unusual stories. But as a man with a gun, he lives and becomes a part of the violent years in the new territories. Now, starring John Daner, this is the story of J.B. Kendall. Frontier Gentleman.
I had arrived in the town of Osawatomie by way of riverboat down the Missouri to Kansas City, and then overland to this site of the famous battle. I hoped to write a story on the abolitionist John Brown, but two things prevented my doing so. The first was the weather. In a region where I was told the rain was plentiful, not a drop had fallen for more than 3 months. Eastern Kansas was in the grip of a severe drought. The second reason was Darby Bullman. I met him as I was doing a sketch of John Brown's cabin. He drew up in a wagon, got down, and peered over my shoulder, silent for a few minutes, then cleared his throat and said...
Hot, ain't it?
Yes, very.
Ain't seasonal.
And so I'm told.
You a stranger around here?
Mm-hmm.
Me too. Just come in town. Ain't much to see, is there?
No. Not much.
It's a pretty fair likeness of the cabin.
Thank you.
Chimney don't seem to stick out just right, though. You don't mind me saying.
Well, it's only a rough sketch.
Ain't squatty enough, neither. Outside of that, it ain't bad. You make a living doing that?
No. No, I'm a writer. This is a sideline.
Oh, so... you any good at making signs, writing them?
Well, I never...
I'd be willing to pay. $2. Won't go no higher than two. Don't need none of them fancy curlicues. Just a good old sign, nice and easy writing so those folks can read it. Do it myself, except I ain't much of a hand at that kind of thing.
Well,
I figure for $2 you can draw in a picture along with the words.
What kind of sign?
Well, you write it out. I'll tell it to you slow.
All right. Just a minute. Let me... all right, go on.
Darby Bullman.
Darby. D E R.
D A R.
Oh, sorry. Darby Bullman.
B U L L.
L L M E N.
King of the Rainmakers.
Of the Rainmakers.
Will guarantee to.
Will. Guarantee...
To fix it to rain for the price of $1,000.
Would you prefer guarantee to bring forth rain for the price?
Fine. Bring forth rain for the price,
price
of
$1,000.
Yes.
That's right, yes.
Right. What kind of a picture would you figure to draw with that?
Well, what would you suggest?
Oh, I don't know. Something good and wet, though. You know, give them the idea.
You're not serious, Mr. Bullman.
Sure I'm serious. You think I'm flapping my gums to make wind?
You can actually make it rain?
I've been doing it nigh on 5 years.
How?
Oh, I got my methods, mister. Don't you worry about that.
$1,000 is a lot of money.
Sure it is. But it's a sight less than what these homesuckers is going to lose when it don't rain. Come to think of it, you know, I'll be needing an assistant. You want the job?
Well,
pay you $50 in feed.
Well, what are the requirements for an assistant?
Oh, ain't nothing to it. You get that sign made. I got me a big roll of paper in the wagon yonder. Then we stick the sign up over the wagon and drive through the town. As soon as we get us a likely crowd gathered, I make the speech, and you wait to start the collection.
A small point, but supposing they don't believe you?
Ain't human nature not to believe me. Cows and crops is perishing for want of rain, ain't they?
Yes.
feller like me comes along and gives them rain. They'll believe me.
Have you ever failed?
No, no, no. Mister, say, what's your name anyhow? Huh?
Kendall.
Well, Kendall. You see that feller coming this way herding them cows?
Yes.
Oh, wait, I'll show you what I mean. Morning, stranger.
Morning.
Them cows of yours kind of scrawny, ain't they?
They sure are, mister. Unless we get some rain mighty soon, ain't going to be no better than rawhide.
Then I guess your troubles is over, stranger.
That's so?
Yeah. You're talking to Darby Bowman, king of the rainmakers. This is my assistant, Slim Kendall.
That's so?
Yes, sir. If you want a good big rain, you come on down to town at 5 o'clock. Tell your friends. I got the makings for the wettest rain you ever see. Bring it right down from the clouds.
Ain't no clouds.
Not right yet, there ain't. But that's what I aim to scare up. Hey, you be willing to pay maybe $50 for an inch of water in your fields?
Mister, you do that, I'd be willing to pay $100.
I ain't a greedy man. Like I say, my wagon will be in the middle of the town 5 o'clock. You tell your friends.
I surely will, mister. Yes, sir, I surely will. Get out of
there! Yeah. See the way it is, Kendall? Get me 20 fellers like that, pay $50 apiece, I get me $1,000.
But how can you guarantee that, what do they do if you can't produce the rain?
Didn't you hear me get through telling him? It'll be the easiest $50 you ever made, Kendall. Now, you get going on that sign. I got to start mixing up the makings. Now, this here's going to be the wettest county in Kansas. Come tomorrow.
I was torn between curiosity and common sense. The one counseled me to stay with Darby Bullman, to act in whatever assistant capacity he saw fit, and the other warned me to put as much distance as I could between the rainmaker and myself. So, common sense lost. I'm a newspaper correspondent, and there was something about the fat little man that intrigued me. So I made the sign, complete with a soaking, wet landscape as a background. Bullman was immensely pleased. At exactly 5 o'clock, we drove the wagon into town and drew up outside the sheriff's office. As per my instructions, I began beating on a large saucepan with a heavy iron spoon.
Right.
A small crowd began to gather.
Gather around, folks. Come in real close. That's enough, Slim. All right, gather around so I don't have to strain my vitals. That's just fine, just fine. Now I guess you can all read so you know what that there sign says.
Yeah, we see what it says. We ain't so sure what it means, though.
It means what it says, mister. I'm here to bring you rain. And when I say rain, I don't mean no tiddling spit. I mean a goose grounder, a regular gully washer. I mean to make it wet enough to bog a snipe.
That's what it told me. That's what it said this morning.
Yeah, let me go here.
What's your business, mister?
You can read, can't you, friend?
I ain't your friend, mister. I'm Sheriff Finnick. I aim to keep law and order in this here county. You creating a disturbance of the peace?
Well, no such thing. Me and my assistant Slim were setting up a business deal. Like it says, $1,000 and I make rain.
Ain't possible.
You hear that? Sheriff says it ain't possible. Well, here's what I say. 24 hours. You give me 24 hours, and if there ain't a puddle of water in every pothole in this street, nobody pays me nothing.
Bowman, we had fellas around these parts before claiming they could bring down weather. The last one got run out on a rail.
I'm willing to take the medicine same as him, if and I don't make good.
Yeah, $1,000 is a heap of money.
Sure is.
You got proof you can do what you say? Where else you brung the rain?
Where else? I'll tell you where. Out to California. I waded down the Sacramento Valley 2 years back so as you could take a boat from Marysville down to Sacramento and never touch dry land.
Hey, I don't see no harm if it's a guarantee. But we got to make it legal-like.
Suits me. Anything you say.
Har-har.
Har-har.
Go over and fetch Lawyer Woolsack. Tell him to come on over to the sheriff's office. We need some papers made.
Now, I got it written up clear and understanding.
Now, wait, just read it, will you?
Well, consideration of the mutual covenants herein contained, the parties hereto have agreed and do agree as follows. Wherefore and whereas.
Yeah, you can get over the wherefores and whereases, Collie. What do it say?
In brief, a corporation in this town agrees to sell shares and to utilize such monies collected to pay Darby Bullman the sum of $1,000 upon delivery within 24 hours of 1 inch of natural waters. One half of the sum to be paid on signature of this document, and the other half to be paid when the task is completed. If rain is not forthcoming within the stipulated time, all money shall be returned by the party of the first part, etc., etc.
Well, now, that sounds mighty fine. What do you say, Slim?
Clear and concise.
Now, what ain't in the papers is what I'm telling you, Bowman. Now, if this here's some kind of gouging, you and your pal ain't gonna be in no condition to try it no more. You remember that?
I ain't got time to worry about that, Sheriff. Let's sign them papers. I got a mess of work to do.
Yeah. Sign right here.
That's my mark.
Well, now, ain't that something? All that there big talk, he can't even write his name. His mark is perfectly legal, Sheriff. Now, you, sir.
Right you are.
J. B. Snoodley. Kendall.
That's right.
Excellent. Now, I shall sign for the corporation. Collier Woolsack.
Let me through. Make way.
Oh, we got troubles, boys. Sounds like Mrs. Cunningham.
What is this I hear, Collier Woolsack? Sheriff Finnick.
Business affair, dear lady. Nothing to worry
about.
Don't
mealy-mouth, Mr. Woolsack. There's devil's work afoot.
Oh, now, Mrs.
I forbid it. I
don't see how you rightly can forbid anything, ma'am. I got a contract here all signed legal-like.
It's the devil's work. Are you a man of temperance?
If you mean do I take a sup of snake poison, no, ma'am, I ain't a man of temperance.
This town will not suffer the evils of intoxicating liquors nor the workings of the devil.
I ain't no devil, ma'am.
I think you misunderstand, madam. Mr. Bullman is not intoxicated. He's a rainmaker.
You, sir, are in the presence of a lady. How dare you speak to me in that tone? Sheriff! I demand that you put a stop to this devil's work immediately.
Now, don't you worry about a thing, Mrs. Cunningham. There ain't going to be no liquoring or carrying on, I promise you.
It is against the laws of nature. Only the great rainmaker up yonder has the right to create rain. I forbid you to attempt such a thing. The women's crusaders will be called out to put a stop to it. I warn you, Sheriff.
Now, there ain't no need of that, Mrs. Cunningham.
I have nothing more to say. We have put the devil out of Osawatomie. He will not return in the guise of these two wicked men. Liquor and sin. Liquor and sin.
Somebody's wife?
Not no more, Kendall. Buried, too. Talked him to death, some say.
I ain't having no trouble with Mary Elizabeth Cunningham or them women's crusaders. No, sir. Now, you boys better get out of town.
Well, we got a legal signed paper. Ain't that so, Slim?
Definitely so.
Yeah, there's no backing out of it, Sheriff. Less than you want to pay the $1,000 by default.
Just 24 hours is all I need, fellas. Maybe less. Then you'll have your reign. And that old female buzzard won't have nothing to say.
Mister, you listen here to what I'm telling you. if you don't come through with that rain, I'll turn you both over to the Women's Crusaders. And what they'll do to you will make a lynching party seem like an evening social. You got 24 hours.
If it's new, Plymouth's got it.
Got it.
The 59 Plymouth's got it if it's new.
If it's new, if it's new.
The 59 Plymouth is at your Plymouth dealers now. It's new, it's wonderful, and it's here. New styling to make your heart sing. Plymouth for 59 has that fine car look. New Fury models at new lower prices. New swivel seats. Swing you in when you enter, swing you out when you leave. New push-button heater, world's simplest temperature control. New Golden Commando V8, biggest engine in the low-price field. New Miramatic mirror, new automatic headlight dimmer, new sport deck, new everything. See the completely new 59 Plymouth. Drive the completely new 59 Plymouth at your Plymouth dealers now.
Bobby Bullman and I left the town and went to a field a mile or two away. The rainmaker scurried about, unloading sacks from the wagon, contents unknown. Then we wrestled two immense cauldrons down to the ground. While I built fires under the containers, Bullman emptied the sacks and began to stir in a liquid which he poured from large jars. A great cloud of dense smoke began to rise into the night, spreading, oily, black, and with it arose a most incredible stench. If nothing else, the heavens would weep at that alone. What is it?
My own chemical invention. Ain't nothing else like it.
I should hope not.
There. That ought to do it. All we got to do now is to keep her good and hot and wait. Oh, she's rising just fine. Might get something sooner than I figured. Wind's right. Yes, sir. Shouldn't be too long.
We spent the night in the field, alternately napping and tending the fire. At dawn, there were only gray wisps rising from the cauldrons, and the sky was cloudless. Bullman whistled cheerfully as we loaded the wagon, then made our way back to the sheriff's office. Well, you don't seem particularly worried.
Ain't no reason I should be. You neither.
From that sky, I'd say there wasn't any rain within 100 miles.
You'd say that, huh? Well, we got a few hours to go yet. Boom! Boom! Oh, morning.
Mighty dry start for a rainy day.
Yes, that's a fact.
Here he was making lots of smoke down the road away. Old Har Har, he said there was a powerful stink when he took the cows out this morning.
Oh, so?
Some of the fellers ain't feeling so happy waking up this morning not finding no rain.
That's so. Oh, morning, Sheriff.
Morning.
Well, mighty nice of you to save me the trouble of coming out to get you.
Is something wrong, Sheriff?
You know doggone well something's wrong. Another hour, this town's going to be bellering for your skin. Rain. Ain't going to be no rain, you know it.
24 hours, like the paper says. Ain't but a mite after 9 now. We still got 9 hours to go. 6 o'clock this evening is finishing time.
Well, I ain't taking no chances. Both of you's going to be locked up.
Why?
Why? Because I'm sworn up hold the peace, that's why. Folks around here's having a bad time with this dry spell. They're touchy enough to get mean. And that Mrs. Cunningham and her crusader lady as well. I don't want no trouble. You get in that cell and stay there.
Ain't worth fretting, Slim. She'll rain by and by.
Inside.
Wouldn't care to send in some breakfast, would you, Sheriff?
I'll send out for some.
Sheriff!
going to be trouble. A bunch of men up the street, they saw Bullman and Kendall come into your office. They're talking about trickery. They're ugly, very ugly.
I knew it.
And my wife was at a meeting last night. The Crusaders. Mary Elizabeth Cunningham has got the women worked up. Mrs. Woolsock accused me of working with the devil.
There sure must have been some town before that leaky-mouthed woman cleaned it up.
Listen.
They're coming.
Now, look, a bargain's a bargain. We agreed 24 hours.
Oh, you ain't sticking to that crazy talk, are you? You know there ain't gonna be no rain. If you're lucky, I can stop them from lynching you. Maybe just tarring and feathering will be enough for them.
It's highly illegal. Highly illegal.
Or my idea.
I think you'd better unlock the cell.
No, sir. You stay right there.
He's off, boys! That ain't no call to get excited.
We aim to take them ornery skunks out and string them up.
There ain't no rain. There's a lot of bad smell.
My old woman's got the heaves on account of that stink.
Yeah, turn them over there, Sheriff. We'll take care of them.
I just heard it came over the telegraph. It's raining.
Rain where?
All over. Over to Ottawa, down the line to Osage City, Lawrence, Topeka, Kansas City. It's raining.
It ain't raining here. Our contract specifically calls for rain in Ottawa. And unless the provisions of the contract are specifically... What was that?
Well, it weren't my stomach. That's for sure.
Hey, take a look out the window, boys. Look at them clouds coming in.
Mr. Bowman, I'd say you are a very fortunate man.
Ain't nothing fortunate about it. Purely scientific is all. Never fail. But between you and me, it might be a good idea if we got out of here.
Darby Bullman received the remainder of his fee, and in a torrent of rain, we drove out of Osawatomie. We didn't escape the downpour until the next day, and were then some 50 miles south of the town. And from what I've heard, the storm lasted for 3 days, and the damage caused by the flooding river will long be remembered, as will the name of Darby Bullman.
It's no surprise to anybody that the attractive and inexpensive new radios have proved popular. It's no surprise, that is, to anyone who listens to CBS Radio. With so much in the way of music, comedy, drama, variety, and news coming your way every day on CBS Radio, more than one radio around the house is more than a convenience. It's almost a necessity for anyone who has a daily routine. The man in the house wants to come home to an attractive home and an attractive wife. But household chores in themselves are rarely inspirational. The smart homemaker is one who refuses to let her regular responsibilities get her down. She gets her work done every day, but she gets her entertainment in, too. She has a radio in the kitchen as well as the living room. Chances are she has a portable radio as well to follow her from one task to another around the house. She knows why the inexpensive new radios are so popular. And she knows the value of CBS Radio, too. Frontier Gentlemen was written, produced, and directed by Anthony Ellis and stars John Daner as J.P. Kendall. Featured in the cast were Joseph Kearns, Jack Crucian, Stacey Harris, Virginia Gregg, Charles Seal, and Jack Moyles. Join us again next week for another report from the Frontier Gentlemen. Bud Sewell speaking.
Thank you so much for joining us for this week in the Wild West. Next week, we have a memorial tribute to Jerry Lewis, who died this month at the age of 91. We found some very funny material that is not part of the Martin and Lewis show. Hope you can join us next week for a few laughs. This is the Old Time Radio Hour, and your host, Justine Ward. So long for now.